when you walk into the ring for the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Here, Blood River Radio family. We got another fellow joining us. You know, as we said earlier, I think I mentioned that the one and only Sam Dixon had to call in kind of late notice. So Mark Tommy has graciously agreed to come on. He's going to help us out. He's going to be in the weeds, listen to our commentary. The one and only Alfred Schaefer is coming out. He's been on, just in case you're just tuning in, Alfred Schaefer, the brother of Monica Schaefer, our co-host. He's on, and he has really been knocking it out of the park. We just talked about, we've been kind of going all over the place, but we've been pretty much on the same topic. And we just got through talking about before we went to the break, the book I brought up. In fact, I got it right here. My friend Lee Cochran, before he died, he gave it to me. It's called The Real Anthony Fauci, Bill Gates, Big Pharma, and the Global War on Democracy and Public Health by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And Alfred Schaefer so rightfully pointed out, what breaks my heart, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., if I was ever going to vote for a Democrat, which I don't, I'm not going to vote anyway until we can get a Southerner in there. But Robert F. Kennedy Jr., he's saying all the right things. And Alfred brought this up. All the right things. He's on board. He has busted the pharmaceutical industry. But then what does he do? He makes a video. He goes on major news and said, I stand with Israel. I'm going to stand with Israel to the end of time. And it's what they call mental cognizance, you know, cognizance, you know, cognitive deficit, whatever you call it. Anyway, I mean, he has two opposing thoughts in his mind at the same time, even though they mutually exclude each other. He believes them. He talks about how evil the pharmaceutical industry is, how evil the so-called COVID stuff was. And he goes right back and he's going to pledge his life to the damn Jews have created. That's all that we're talking about, Mark. Anyway, we've got Mark Tommy on. We'll go right back to Alfred. Alfred, if you'll take off on that, if you will, brother. And I'm sure Mark's going to be listening and taking notes, and he'll have a bunch of questions. So Mark is a smart guy. Like I told you, he's an engineer, and he's also a warrior, and I'm very proud to have him for a brother. But go ahead, Alfred.
Yeah, we were just talking about how Robert Kennedy Jr. I mean, I say thank you, Robert Kennedy Jr., for doing that work regarding exposing what this fraud is about, the Corona COVID plandemic. But why didn't you go that last step and name and point out who killed your own father, who killed your uncle, and who killed your cousin? You know, John F. Kennedy Jr. and so forth. And Israel, they're giving big awards for Albert Bourla and so forth from Pfizer. They're giving him a special, it's called the Israeli Nobel Prize for the work he's done in this fraud. So he's insincere. He's exposed. Actually, who would protect the murderers of their own father? And that's what Robert Kennedy has done. So I don't know how he thought he would get away with this. And I find it an absolute tragedy that a Kennedy would stoop so low and actually commit treason. I mean, treason is treason. There's no excuse for that. I know I was on some show recently, and they said there was a name of these in the old days when they'd have somebody who would, you know, wipe the ass of royalty kind of thing. And that's what Robert Kennedy is doing now. You know, it's just disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting.
The groom of the stool. That's what the United States has become, the groom of the stool. You know, the United States wipes the butt of back when we talked about this, I think last week, with the group, they had what they call a groom of the stool back in the medieval days, probably up until about 1500s. Right. And what the groom of the stool did, these fat, big fat slob parasite royalties would sit on their pot on their toilet. And when they got through doing their bowel movement, the groom of the stool was responsible for cleaning their butt. Well, that's what the United States has become, if not worse than that. That's what the groom of the stool, we've become the groom of the stool. You know, to backtrack a little bit, since we got Mark on, you know, Mark, we were talking, me and Alfred, we talked off the theme to the first hour of this broadcast is stopping the war in Ukraine, the Jew world order war. And me and Alfred said that it's designed, the purpose of this Jew world order war between Ukrainian, white Christian Ukrainians and white Christian Russians is to kill as many white people as possible. That way, so the Jews could come in to prop some of the most fertile land in all of Europe, if not the most fertile land in the world, into the Ukraine, and they want to move into there and take over that. But our theme is, how do we stop this war? What can we do? Because what we've been doing in the past does not work. And just to backtrack, just tell Mark what we talked about, I said that this methods, when I got drafted in the 60s, in the 1960s, we had millions of young people in the street marching, doing everything possible, even getting violent and burning towns and stuff like that at times. But it didn't have one iota of effect on stopping the war. So we said, Mark, that we have to have different methods. And I've been saying for years to some of our brothers, I call them peacenicks. I won't name them now because they're already pissed off at me enough. But this peacenick crap didn't work. We have to do different. Something different. At the end of this hour, Mark, I hope you'll be thinking about some solutions. But we'll do. Alfred, why don't you go for another segment, and Mark can listen to what you're saying, and Mark can come back and ask you questions about what I've just said and what you've been talking about, because he's been gracious enough to come on and kind of bail me out tonight, because all four co-hosts are gone and one of my guests bailed out. But go ahead, Alfred. Take off what we just said.
Yeah, before we were saying, like I was saying, that the Vietnam, the protests against the Vietnam War did not work because they were actually instigated and run by the very people, by the Jews, basically, in a process of demoralization and destroying any patriotism that the young people may have had, leading them to think they can actually stop that war. And people like Bill Clinton, he was right there, you know, the Clintons, they were right up there, like, doing stuff like, you know, storming the universities and shitting on the dean's desk and stuff like that. I mean, it was just really scumbag, you know, the tactics that that people like the Clintons were doing. But things are, you know, but this time around, this is a whole different magnitude now. This is now about destroying European, or especially the white race, and actually all the races, and degenerating the survivors, basically, down to their base animal, instincts, kind of thing, and run by the Jews. What we have to do now is stop cooperating with the system, understand what's happening, and everybody has to stand up and how could there be this a roll up your sleeve for a poison injection to go and to serve in the military? I mean, that's suicide. It's absolute total suicide. So everybody is now. Has to confront this regime every opportunity and every place they possibly can, and that's, you know, that's every day, everywhere. I mean, people, when they have drag queens reading stories for the kids in the kindergarten, I mean, that, you know, in the old days we would have taken that drag queen and smashed them to pieces, and that's the end of that, and nobody would have said a thing, you know. And this is the level of depravity and degeneration that we've reached, and that's our end if we don't stand up. And face them.
Yes, you're
so
absolutely
that
right.
Was our take.
You're absolutely right. Now, I'm going to throw a few things out. We're getting ready to go to a break in probably about another minute or two, but I'm going to throw this out. When we come back, Alfred, we'll let Mark can ask any questions, make any comments he have. But this is what I've said last week. I'm going to say it again. The new methods we're going to use, if we're going to stave off atomic war, if we're going to have to get these parasites, these Satanists out of our midst, first of all, We have to stop recognizing their authority. We have to tell the Supreme Court, the Congress, the Senate, the governors of the state of Tennessee, of the states, we have to tell these clowns, we do not recognize your authority. We are not obeying you. We're going to get rid of you. We're going to start our new system of government here in this League of the South. I'm a member of, so Mark's the big, he's second in command. We want our independent South, but we have to do it. Like I told Dr. Hill about a month ago, I don't care if we do it independent South or we do it nationwide. We have to get rid of these parasites in the government. We have to, first of all, don't recognize their authority. Let them know. We have to get in the street. We have to stop worrying about it if we're going to go to jail and all that crap. No, but we got to. It's either us or them. It's either do or die. I mean, and if we don't do it, we're going to die. And we come back after this break. We'll be going to a break any second, Mark. Be chewing on that, man. And I mean, I don't want to get anybody in trouble or anything, but I mean, it's getting, I mean, is it better? So, I mean, even if you go to jail, what's worse, going to prison or going perishing and all out to atomic war? Are we going to let this crap go on if we don't resist it? Are we going to let our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, are we going to leave it? Like we said earlier, little Lizzie's only 16 years old running this board. Are we going to, and I'm 76, she's 60 years younger than me. She's got to face this crap for 6 years after I'm dead. Are we just going to lay down and say, oh, we're just going to hunt and fish, enjoy life? To hell with the young folks. To hell with Lizzie. To hell with our great-grandchildren. But when we come back from the break, be chewing on, be thinking about that, Mark, if you will. And you too, Alfred, I'm going to shut up and let y'all rock and roll. But we'll be going to a break any second now. But back there is, there's the music. Folks, we'll be right back. When we come back, we're going to bring Mark Tommy in. Hang on, folks.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing, and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
Dear Blood River Radio family, we're bringing on a brother of mine. He's second in command of the League of the South. I'm so proud to be a member of the League of the South. We're not one of these mamby-pamby pseudo-intellectual organizations. We believe in, like Dr. Hill, our commander, says, we're militant. You know, we get in their face up close and personal with these Satanist pedophiles. Anyway, bring Mark Tommy, second in command behind only Dr. Hill. He's agreed to come in and help us tonight. So, Mark, say hello to the audience, and you make any comments you'd like to me or Alfred or the audience, or any questions you'd like. So just go ahead and briefly introduce yourself. I know you're an engineer, et cetera. Give a quick bio for the people who hadn't listened in a while, and then go ahead and do anything you want to, brother.
Okay. Well, thanks, Eddie. And, of course, a friendly Southern hello to everybody in the listening audience. Glad to be on with you again. It's always a privilege and an honor to be on your show. Yeah, I'm a native, Arkansasier. I was born and raised, in that wonderful country, and, got my engineering degree. I've been practicing as a structural engineer for 40 years now. And, currently for the last 13 years, I've been living here in Alabama. So, have been a member of the league since 1996 and, doing what I can to try to help convince my fellow Southerners that independence from this rotten, corrupt U.S. empire is the only way that we're going to really be able to salvage a remnant of our Southern civilization and have a hope to have any kind of freedom or prosperity for ourselves and for our heirs. So I'm sure a lot of what you fellows have already been talking about dovetails with that. And, I was going to tell Mr. Schaefer there, too, that I've been saying for a long time as a student of history that I see an awful lot of parallels between Germany and the South. We were both conquered and occupied by a foreign power. We've both been made over the last 60, 70 years for the Germans, the last 150 years for we Southerners. We've been made feel ashamed of who we are and what we stand for and what our civilization is all about by the people who conquered and have occupied us since we were defeated militarily. And so, I have German ancestry. As a matter of fact, my Confederate ancestor, my great-great-grandfather, his last name was Schaefer. Of course, when he got here to the Whoa. U.S., they changed it to Schaefer. Because I have some German ancestry I have a certain affinity for the German people and as a Southerner and having to undergo the type of reconstruction and brainwashing and browbeating that we've had to undergo, I have an empathy for the German people and what they've been made to endure since World War II.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I'm so glad you just said everything you said there, because that is something I had come to understand just in the last few years. The Jewish instigated civil war in the United States, they learned a lot from that exercise that they then used against Germany. And so many of the methods, to make you, like you said, make you feel ashamed of yourself and always guilty of something, guilty of everything, and complete nonsense about the reasons they gave for that war when they say it's about slavery. What a bunch of nonsense, you know. And after the South had lost, they put in the bottom of the sludge, the worst people into positions of power, and all the people who had achieved so much before were made destitute because everything was stolen from them, basically, and they were evicted. So it's so much of the same as the Germans had experienced since 1945. It's so sad. It breaks my heart. And now they've got the same agenda for all the entire white race. So that's it. Like, that's so important to understand these things.
Yeah, absolutely. And not only the psychological warfare that's been going on post-war, but the other thing that I empathize with the German people over too is, we in the South in the 1860s, we felt the heavy hand of the barbaric Yankee military, and it's scorched earth warfare against women and children and civilians and private property. And Germany felt the same thing from the so-called allies, you know, the U.S. and England and so forth. I look at things like the firebombing of Dresden and the atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and then the U.S. has the temerity to sit there and war crimes trials against the Germans in Nuremberg for 10 years after the war is up. You know, Dwight Eisenhower purposely starves almost a million German POWs to death after the war is over, and they've got the temerity to talk about the so-called Holocaust and all this other kind of nonsense, and it's just, the hypocrisy is just so rife that it just, I don't know how God stands the stench in his nostrils from all of the hypocrisy and the lies that come out of the U.S. regime. And to a large degree, it's Jewish owners and controllers, because, you know, there's an old saying, at least here in the South and other parts of America, and it may be true in Germany and other parts of the world too, but there's an old saying that says, he who pays the piper calls the tune. And so when you've got a private Jewish bank cabal called the Federal Reserve System, who creates money out of thin air and then loans it to the U.S. government, what do you think the U.S. government's going to do when those bankers say, these are the policies we want you to pursue? And so, you know, the entire U.S. regime is just a puppet on a string. They do what the bidding of their real owners and controllers, because if you don't control your own money, then you don't control your own affairs. And so it's, when you begin to understand these things, it's not surprising to see why the U.S. regime bends over backwards to kiss the backside of the Israelis and the international banking system and all this other kind of stuff. It's because that's where they get their money to operate. And so, you know, the guys who create the money and lend it out at interest, that then the citizens of the various countries are taxed, turned into wage slaves. Let's don't even call it taxation. At least taxation has a somewhat legal connotation to it. But what you are is a wage slave. I've argued this to people for years, you know, that if you don't own your own labor, then you're a slave. That's the legal definition of being a slave, is that you do not own and control your own labor. Well, if the government, whether it's the state or the feds, can make a claim on anywhere from 30 to 50% of your wages every time you get paid and steal it from you before you can ever get your hands on it, then you're not free. You're a damn slave. And I don't care how much you wrap that red and white striped rag around it and call it patriotism or duty. You're a slave on Uncle Sam's big plantation, and that's all there is to it. And how anybody can have any patriotic feeling for that horse manure just boggles my mind.
You know, Albert, what he said.
So many. Yeah.
I was going to say, I'm going back to the Weimar Republic in Germany, because we can relate that with the Federal Reserve, the IRS here. If you will, Alfred, if you don't mind, say what you want to say. If you want to cover what happened in Germany after the first, World War Part A, World War One, they call it, and the money system, what the money system did to our German brothers and sisters there. Go ahead, Alfred. Anyway, you want to go.
Mark just said so many important things about this. Just one thing I wanted to add into this equation that illustrates just how dangerous and evil Israel is, and how Israel has to be basically erased from this face of the earth, because they have, because of the hollow hoax, this nonsensical nonsense, they have no extradition treaty with any country in the world. So that it is like a safe house to run this planet as a crime syndicate. That's what Israel is. And it's like Mark, Tommy was saying about this, you know, being a slave when you pay these taxes, and you don't, like, they're always sort of taking their share kind of thing, like sucking the blood out of us. And that's exactly how it's a parasitic entity that has no limits to crime and no extradition treaty because of the hollow hoax. And that's the
we got to go to another break, Alfred. Yeah. We'll be right back after this break, y'all. Hold on, folks. We've got to go to a break.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm John Schaefer. Vice President Kamala Harris marked the anniversary of the Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe v. Wade by stating that a fundamental right was taken away.
And so the three words that came to me that I publicly spoke were, how dare they? How dare they?
Speaking in Charlotte, North Carolina, Harris urged abortion activists to carry on the legacy of previous civil rights advocates. The head of a Russian mercenary group is ordering a halt to his military advance on Moscow. Russian state media says the leader of the Wagner group agreed to de-escalate the situation after talks with the president of Belarus. Convoys of rebel tanks and soldiers began to march on Russia's capital city after its leader claimed Russian forces attacked his troops. President Biden is going ahead with his weekend trip to Camp David as he continues to watch the situation in Russia. He made the trip after briefly delaying his departure to make calls to other international leaders. Former President Trump has announced his intention to contribute to the legal fund for defendants involved in the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. Speaking at a private event hosted by a fundraising group in New Jersey, Trump expressed support for those charged in the incident. He acknowledged the consequences faced by individuals involved and made claims that the riot was orchestrated by BLM and Antifa. U.S. intelligence agencies are still divided on where COVID-19 came from.
On Friday, a new report was released from the Office of the Director of National Intelligence on the origins of the pandemic. Five intelligence agencies, including the National Intelligence Council, believe natural exposure to an infected animal is the most likely cause. However, the FBI and the Department of Energy concluded a laboratory-associated incident was a more likely scenario in the first human infection. I'm Jim Forbes.
This is USA News.
With no fees or minimums and no overdraft fees, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions.
Even easier than choosing Slash to be in your band.
Next up for lead guitar. You're in.
Cool.
Yep, even easier than that. With no fees or minimums and no overdraft fees, is it even a decision? That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One N.A. member FDIC.
If you're a diabetic, we have great news. You can end the painful finger sticks with a new CGM. Plus, they may be covered by Medicare, Medicaid, or private insurance. If you test and inject daily, you may qualify. Call U.S. Med now to learn more.
800-471-7065. 800-471-7065. 800-471-7065. That's 800-471-7065.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Dear Blood River Radio family, we unloaded a lot of stuff during the break, so we're going to go back to Alfred Schaefer. He's going to try to answer questions as best he can, some of the questions and comments that Mark Tommy put to him while we were on the commercial break. So go ahead, Alfred.
Yeah, you wanted to, I'm not the expert on exactly the social programs of Adolf Hitler after when he came to power and so forth that made Germany a powerhouse of prosperity. But it was eliminating the Jewish bankers who were always skimming off and you know, with their speculation and everything. And having the Germans just feel that they are working together in a fair arrangement, and you know, and with truth with truth and common sense in everything that was done, and comparing that to what is happening now. Well, like they say, like here they call the Weimar Republic was when the Jews were getting wealthier and wealthier before Hitler came to power, and Germans were really suffering, you know, in abject poverty, much as is happening now in all of our countries, with you know, the speculators, you know, certain people making massive amounts of money as everyone else is falling into poverty. We have the same dismal situation as Weimar Germany had, but now on a much bigger scale. And then Adolf Hitler, I don't know all the steps and so forth and all the details, but he had basically taken the money and made it, you know, if, like the German labor, the value of the German labor was kept, you know, for German people and not taken out like in speculation, like all the speculations going on. And this had to be stopped. The Jews had to stop that because they were not able to skim off out of the system like they do now. And that is why they are vilifying any idea of National Socialism, because that does not include the Jewish bankers and their ability to suck the you know, always sucking a certain percentage of money out for themselves. And but I'm not the one who's I'm not the expert on that, so I'll just leave it at that, and say that like Adolf Hitler, that was a role model for all the world. In fact, the cruise ships, the German workers were able to go on cruise ships and so forth to get some relaxation from work, and these cruise ships were not allowed to reach the ports in the UK and England, because the people there would see how well off the German workers are while they were all suffering in quite abject poverty. And that's what we're seeing now. Like our people, you know, our common people now are ever more living on the streets and don't know how to pay the next rent or buy the next meal. And that's, you know, I'll give it back to you on that.
Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, you know, this is the basic premise of the problem with what money actually is supposed to be throughout all of human history. You know, in order for money to perform its proper function, it has to have stability, and it has to provide a store of value.
Correct.
And when you had systems where countries' monetary systems were based on, we've got a certain amount of precious metals in our treasury somewhere, and we don't have any more paper in circulation than can be backed up by the amount of gold and or silver that we have in the treasury. And if we have to borrow money, then somebody's got to physically go into a vault and pull out X amount of gold and physically give it to us, you know, and then at some point we pay them back with gold or silver or whatever the case may be. And under those kind of circumstances, you know, the money is stable and it provides a store of value. You know, a dollar is a dollar is a dollar. And to illustrate that, a number of years ago, I read an article by somebody who, you know, makes their living in economics and money and finance and that kind of thing. And they told a little story in the article that said, you know, in 1800 here in America, you could build a basic 4-room house for $500. And you could do that, you could build that same 4-room house for $500 all the way up until 1913. And then after 1913, the cost of that same 4-room house began to escalate year after year after year after year until now, you know, a basic four-room house would probably cost you $40,000 or $50,000. Well, why is that? Well, it's not because trees from which we make lumber or mud from which we make bricks or, limestone which we crush up and burn to make cement for concrete and all. It's not that those commodities are any different now than they were 200 years ago or 1,000 years ago. It doesn't take any more effort for a chicken to lay an egg now than it did at the beginning of time. So why is it that all these things are so much more expensive now than they were once upon a time? And the answer to that is because the money is that we use, the quote unquote money that we're forced to use, is not stable and it's no longer a store of value. It's not backed by anything other than these U bankers promised to maybe make good on it one day. And so they keep creating more and more of it out of thin air and pumping it into circulation. You know, as an example, you go down to the bank and you want to borrow $30,000 to buy a car. That banker doesn't walk into his vault and come out with $30,000 in cash to hand to you for you to take to the car dealership and pay him for that car. What he does is he creates a line on a balance sheet that says that he has now loaned you $30,000, and over the course of the next 5 or 6 years, however long you finance that vehicle for, you're going to pay him back for something he never gave you in the first place, plus interest.
That's exactly right.
Now, every time they do this, that quote unquote creates money out of thin air, pumps more of it into circulation, and makes the money less and less valuable as far as its purchasing power. And so that's the reason why it doesn't matter how hard you work or how much you scrimp and save, you can never get ahead, because the $100 that you put in a savings account 10 years ago is now worth a dollar in its purchasing power. So
that's right.
It's a losing proposition for we the people from the get-go. It's great for the bankers, you know.
And who are the bankers?
The U.S. government gave the Federal Reserve a license to counterfeit money.
Yes. And who are those
bankers,
Mark?
That's what it boils down to.
That's a rhetorical question.
That's what happened. Yeah.
Exactly right. It's the same old thing. It's like David Gehry would say, it's always Jews all the time. And, you know, the Jews head up that Federal Reserve. They own the central banks, you know. And while we're on this, I'd just like to ask maybe, Alfred, I don't know if you may not know. I'm sure y'all have a central bank in Germany. We do here, you know. In fact, we have I guess it's a rhetorical question, because we have the International Bank of Settlements, the World Bank, you know. Why do we the people allow this to happen? I mean, why can't people see this? And before we get off this, we're getting astray a little bit, but you've hit it right. You hit it right, Mark. The key, one of the keys, there are several keys that fit the door, but one of the main keys, if it's not the major key, is we have to get back control. We the people have to get control of our currency, our monetary system. And it used to be at one time, I believe the original Constitution says the dollar was based on so many grains of silver, with 28.34 grains, which is right at an ounce of silver. But that is the only way we're ever going to get control of that. People, we're getting ready to go to our last break of the second hour. We come back, I'm going to change gears a little bit, and it won't be long before the second hour is over. We're out back, folks. I'm tripping over my own words.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today. And gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by six corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach.
Dear Blood River Radio family, we've had on board tonight the one and only Alfred Schaefer. I don't know anybody else like him in the world. We are so honored to have had him. He's going to be with us one more segment. And Mark is going to start up this last segment of the second hour. I've asked him, and he's going to try to come up. I know it's very, very hard to come up with solutions, especially without getting in hot water with the Jew, the judicial system, and if you people, you know what I'm talking about with the law, et cetera, et cetera. But the best of your ability, Mark, kick out me and Alfred talked about solutions earlier, how to stop the war, how to turn some of this devil crap around that's plaguing all the white race, in be it Europe, United States, Canada, England, et cetera, et cetera. What are some of the solutions, in your opinion, Mark? Go ahead, brother.
Well, you know, Eddie, the fight that we're in now is the same fight that's been going on since the beginning of time. It's the age-old battle between good and evil. It takes different forms at different times in history, but when you boil it down to its essence, that's what it is. And so it's not just a physical battle, it's a spiritual battle as well. And so you have to start with first things first, is that there has to be a spiritual reawakening among our people, and by that I mean the Southern people. And of course, you know, those are the folks that I'm concerned about first and foremost, because they're my blood and soil.
Obviously, I
wish good, goodwill towards every other nation out there who wants to struggle to get away from this terrible system too. But and I think some of the stuff I'm going to say can be universally applied regardless of where you are. But first and foremost, it's got to be a spiritual reawakening amongst our people. We got to put Christ back at the center of the public square. For so long, he's been taken out.
Yes.
And that's part of the reason why we are where we are, is that we have bought into this great lie, called, here in America anyway, called separation of church and state. And in actual practice, there is no such thing, and there never has been any such thing. Every ideology, whether it's the Christian religion or communism or socialism or whatever it is, has some type of moral and theological underpinning and dogma that it operates by. So yes. It's not a question of whether or not the church and the state are going to be in union with one another. The question boils down to which church is the state going to be in union with? Will it be the Catholic Church, or will it be the communists, or will it be the socialists, or will it be Antifa or Black Lives Matter or whoever, you know? So there's the question right out of the gate. We got to put Christ back at the center of the public square, and Christian morality has to inform and guide all of our decision-making processes. Second thing would be along the same line is, and I've said this in many of my speeches over the last few years, our people have got to stop believing lies. You know, sacred scripture says that if you seek the truth will set you free. And our people have been fed a steady diet of absolute lies about what we are, how we got here, who runs things, and what's patriotism, what's your country, and all this other kind of stuff. And we've got to stop believing these lies, and we've got to seek out the truth, and then we've got to act on the truth. You know, as late Rush Limbaugh used to say, words mean things. And I've said this in some of my speeches over the years, too. I'm a self-admitted word nerd. Language is something that I enjoy delving into. Here in America, they refer to the United States of America as a nation or our country. And nothing could be further from the truth. Your nation is your people. You know, the Oxford English Dictionary defines a nation as a group of people who share a common ethnicity, history, culture, religion, and occupy a particular place on the face of the earth. And, you know, the Native American Indian tribes referred to themselves as the Cherokee Nation, the Sioux Nation, the Arapaho Nation. They were all Indians, but I guarantee you they knew the differences between each other. You know,
yes, they did.
And again, the word nation, the English word nation comes from the Latin word natio, which means to be born. You know, so it has a direct relation to genetics and to blood and that kind of thing. And then a country is defined as a nation with its own government. So the United States of America fails to qualify as either of those things. The United States of America is nothing but the federal government that was created by the ratification of the U.S. Constitution. And the U.S. flag is not the flag of a country or a nation. It's the flag of a government. Just like the European Union flag is the flag of the European Union. You know, the European Union flag is not the flag of Germany or England or France or Italy or Spain. And if you were to ask one of those people, was the European Union their country's flag, they would laugh in your face to propose such a ridiculous notion. And we've got to go back to that here in the U.S. We've got to realize that the original arrangement was that your state is your country. So my country is Alabama. Your country is Tennessee.
Correct.
And the United States is nothing more than a fictitious political union between all of these separate countries. And so we've got to stop believing this Lincolnian Francis Bellamy Pledge of Allegiance bull crap lie that we're one nation indivisible, blah blah blah, because we're not. I will admit that that may be the de facto state of affairs as a result of the South losing its war for independence, but that doesn't change the de jure meaning of what these things really are and how they should relate to one another and function. So we got to stop believing the lie that we're all one big happy family, and we've got to go back to the idea of our local communities, our states first, and that we can collectively at those levels stand up to the tyranny of the U.S. government. As you mentioned earlier, you know, we stop recognizing their authority. Prime example. Recently, I believe it was Florida, passed a law that made it illegal for these public schools to talk about transgenders or to encourage kids to transition from boy to girl, girl to boy, whatever they think they're doing. And somebody filed a federal lawsuit, and a U.S. federal judge put an injunction against Florida's law being executed. A few years ago here in Alabama, the U.S. government wouldn't do anything about illegal immigration, so we enacted a law here in Alabama. And the area where I live, there are lots of illegal Mexicans that work in Tyson's chicken plants up here. Well, when that law went into effect, the Mexicans fled this area like you wouldn't believe. I mean, wow. The towns around here emptied out of them. And within a couple, 3 months, somebody filed a suit, federal judge struck down our law, and whoosh, they all came back. So now that same scenario has been repeated over and over again, whether it's the southern states trying to do something about sodomy, protecting marriage, do something about immigration, protect our gun rights, whatever long hot button issue you care to pull up. We have tried to do something about it along the way, and every time the inevitable result is either a federal judge or the U.S. Supreme Court strikes our laws down, slaps us on the hand and says, no, bad Alabama, you cannot do that. And so what is the conclusion that a good Christian, patriotic Southerner should draw? The United States of America is your mortal damned enemy. They love everything you hate.
Yes.
And we hate everything they love.
You know, Marshall, the solution
in the
is
world, how can we allow these people to rule over?
That's right. That's right.
These federal judges send out their rulings. What our governors and our attorneys general should be saying is, you know what? I'm going to bend over and pull down my pants, and here's my lily white rebel backside. Pucker up, buddy.
Yes. We got to tell them.
That's what we think of your ruling.
That's right. We've got to tell them we don't recognize your authority. Go to hell. We've got our laws. And if you don't, and just like Andy Jackson said, when he was shipping the Indians across the Mississippi River, and I think that's what it was. The Supreme Court said it's illegal. They made a ruling as illegal. He said, well, the Supreme Court made the ruling. Let's see them enforce it. They say this. We got to tell the Supreme Court and these federal monsters to go to hell. We no longer recognize your authority. We're going to do what you say. And you know what? Like in 1957, when Eisenhower sent the 101st Airborne down to Little Rock, and I heard it became really hot because there's a lot of Arkansas boys, National Guardsmen, militias were getting pretty irate. And, you know, that would have been the perfect time to have a standoff between the militia, we the citizens, against the 101st, against the federal government. Alfred, before we let you go at the end of the hour, what do you have to say about any of this discourse that Mark, you did? You knocked it out of the park, brother. How about you, Alfred? Would you like to do some comments on that before we end this hour?
Like what Mark is saying, we have to stop recognizing their authority. I say all of those laws that are immoral and illegitimate are like nothing more than blots of toner on paper. And I agree 100% with Mark, we do not recognize them, period. And I talk to these, when they raid me and so forth, I tell them all the time, what kind of laws are you guys following? I mean, you guys are going to be held accountable for everything you're doing. And at the end of the day, that's what's going to happen. We will be using laws that make sense, and they come from our DNA and common sense, and that's what we want, and not the laws of the Jews. And earlier you were saying, Eddie, you were saying, why do we, the people, allow to have a money system where we do not have control over the money? We did not allow it. They snuck it. They stole it. That was the Federal Reserve Act in 1913 when everybody was out for the Christmas break and so forth. I mean, it was all done by deception, and that's how they do all of these things.
Oh, yeah. All of the power that they exercise has been usurped, so it's illegitimate by definition anyway. And that's the very reason why we should be standing up and saying no. But as Eddie has pointed out, and I've made the same argument many times myself, see, we also allowed the feds to take away our state militias. We have to have the we have to have some bark behind or bite behind our bark. We got to be able to tell the feds, don't come down here making trouble for us, because you're going to get put in jail or you're going to or something worse.
Well, Mark, Alfred, we've run completely out of time. Alfred, thank you so much, brother. We'll let you go. Stay in touch with me. I'll stay in touch with you. We've got to transition to the third hour now. We've got to bring Mike. We've got to bring Michael Tubbs on. Be right back, folks. Going into the third hour. Go get you a cup of coffee.